Orange Theory Fitness is a one-hour full-body group workout that makes it simple for you to get more life. We focus on heart rate-based training guaranteed to produce results from the inside out. Our workout is backed by science and proven to burn more calories post-workout. Tracked by technology so you can monitor your results in real time, each workout is inspired and led by certified coaches to make sure you don't overtrain or undertrain. So what are you currently doing to get more life out of your workout? That's what OTF Milford and this podcast seek to help you with. All right, so let's kick it off, you guys. I'm here with Coach Zach, Coach Heidi, Coach Francis, and a special guest. You guys know her as Audrey. She has a stalker who follows her all around our Orange Theory Milford studio. I think it might be actually her fiance, so it's probably okay.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Yeah, right?
Welcome, Audrey. I'm so happy that you could be on with us this morning. For anyone that doesn't know, Audrey is not only one of our members, but she is also the assistant professor of maternal fetal medicine at Yale. Did I say that right?
Yes, that is correct. So basically, I take care of pregnancies that are high risk, either for mom or baby reasons.
Awesome. So we have you on here this morning because we have a lot of pregnant members, and there's just been a lot of questions. Yeah, there's just been a lot of questions about, you know, working out when you're pregnant, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I know one of my questions definitely was heart rate. I know we spoke about it very briefly, but talk to me a little bit about the heart rate.
Right. So first thing I want to say is that, you know, you should always talk to your own doctor if you have exercise questions.
Amen.
You know, have had the pleasure of taking care of some Orange Theory members, but always talk to your own doctor. This is not, you know, you should definitely talk to them, not take everything I say with as gospel truth. But in terms of heart rate, in pregnancy, in general, we expect an increase in heart rate in all pregnant women, and an increase in cardiac output. So the amount of blood that your heart is pumping out. And that's because the blood volume increases, to help support the pregnancy and, the growing baby. In general, in the past, people have talked about having, you know, heart rate goals for pregnancy. If you're working out and not wanting your heart rate to increase over a certain level, it doesn't seem that it, you know, we can give everybody a hard and fast number. As you know, in Orange Theory, everybody's orange zone is going to be different. So, you know, generally what we tell people, especially for those people that are newer to exercise, or newer to exercise in pregnancy, is you want to be able to do what we call the talk test. So, you know, think of it like your base pace. Like you want to be able to kind of hold a conversation with somebody, not like long-winded sentences, but you know, an easy conversation with somebody while you're working out. And so that should bring you, for most people, into your green zone and you know, start touching a little bit of the bottom range of your orange zone. So in pregnancy, what I definitely don't want to see is people spending their whole class in the red.
Nice.
Amen. I know obviously now is not the time to exercise for weight loss, but I know that working out when you're pregnant will also aid with weight loss after the delivery. This is true?
So I think it will aid with weight loss after the delivery in the same way that, you know, you've now built these healthy habits into your life, and hopefully increased your muscle mass a little bit during the pregnancy, which will obviously help you burn calories afterwards. I definitely think that it helps with the actual labor itself. If you do labor or if you have a C-section, I definitely think building up that muscle tone and being cardiovascular, it helps with your recovery afterwards, regardless of what kind of delivery you have. So definite benefits. And in terms of weight loss in pregnancy, historically, yeah, we've said no, especially if you're a normal BMI. But for, you know, some of our patients that are especially very overweight, and who are pregnant, it looks, you know, we're seeing people that we say, you know, don't gain any weight during the pregnancy. And if you lose a few pounds, it's probably okay. You know, because we're watching these babies with ultrasound now to check on their growth. So as long as baby's growing fine, we get a little less concerned about what mom's weight's doing.
It's interesting how Zach and I got really quiet when we started talking about pregnancies.
No, I would assume that Zach is like the expert in pregnancy. The coach is, right?
I'm going to leave that alone. Now, other than just listening to your body, what are some other recommendations you have? I know as coaches, we can instruct like no supine exercises after the first trimester.
Yeah, what's supine exercises?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, the weight floor stuff. So this is what I always tell patients, because this is one of the biggest concerns women have is sleeping on their back. And when do I have to stop laying on my back? And that is totally up to the woman. Some women will start getting uncomfortable around 16 weeks. Some women can lay flat on their back and have no symptoms until the third trimester. So symptoms laying flat on your back when it might not be good is if you get dizzy, if you start feeling sweaty, if you start feeling nauseous. That's all a sign that you're not getting enough blood back to your heart. And so your head's not getting enough blood and the baby's not getting enough blood. So that's going to be a little different for everybody. But in general, it starts to happen in the second trimester when people can't lay flat on their back. And so, you know, we can do modifications like raise the bench, instead of doing chest press that where you're flat on your back, we can, you know, raise the bench and that will take that off. And there's other modifications that we can do as well.
Sure. What Phil and Zach, what are your favorite exercises to give ladies with child?
Oh God. I've never really thought about it, to be honest with you. I don't know that I've, one-on-one, I don't think I've ever trained a pregnant person. But I would say instead of like, because I've had a lot of members mention that they're uncomfortable, like lying on their back, like they, you know, have been told not to do. I'm like, okay, well, let's do some sort of like plank variation so that you don't have to be on your back. We can get you on like your hands and your feet in a position that you're comfortable with, and we could still get like that, like anti-extension work, which would be like, if you're not sure what extension is, like sticking your butt out or like really pulling your shoulders and like your head back, and still get like the sides of the core, like the anti-rotational stuff, like in there too. So I think
the T-Rex, TRX is a great go-to for ladies and things. Definitely. Like the bird dog, you know. What mm-hmm. about you, Phil?
Yeah, so I've kind of seen this come through a couple decades now of pregnancy and working out, and early on, you know, they used to just give a blanket statement, do not have a heart rate that goes above 140. What I really like that Audrey said was use the TOC test, because that's going to be different for everybody. I think that's a really good rule of thumb, is if you can carry on, you know, a conversation and not being winded, that's phenomenal. Because if you look at pregnancies over like the last five years or so, there's some pretty crazy stories out there of women who are going, you know, all 9 months and really rocking really good workouts still and everything like that. And not that everybody has to do that or anything, but I think it's better to be, you know, comfortable with yourself and what you're doing and with your doctor's care and moving, because it's going to benefit you in the long run. Whereas I think before it was really like they erred on the side of being like uber cautious. And I think that actually did more harm than good than now. So I think, you know, listen to what your doctor's saying, use your own, you know, TOC test to rate your level of exertion. Obviously, being comfortable at some point, that transitions from doing exercise, lay on your back. Those are all great. That's perfect. I think we hit the nail on the head. And those would be my main concerns. I think it's really important for people to, you know, stay active. It's going to benefit mom and baby, during and after as well.
For sure. I know that it reduces like back aches and bloating, swelling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What else, Audrey? What else can you tell us?
So, I mean, in terms of other benefits, it can, you know, exercise is one of the things we sometimes tell people to start doing, especially if they get diagnosed with gestational diabetes, because it definitely helps control your blood sugar and keep your blood sugar in a tighter range. So you may have your doctor tell you to start exercising or tell you to start walking during the pregnancy, which is definitely can happen. And, you know, to Phil's point, I've had patients that have run marathons in the second trimester. Now, I don't recommend that for everybody by any means, but these people were marathon runners beforehand and had a race plan and wanted to do it and, you know, scaled it back, didn't get a PR, but definitely still ran it.
There were two pregnant, I didn't mean to interrupt, there were two pregnant ladies doing the Olympic trials that were pregnant.
Right.
And it's been shown, like, so the concerns about, you know, how does this affect the baby? Even in these hardcore athletes where they've really studied and put monitors on the baby and really looked at the baby's growth over the course of the pregnancy, the baby's heart rate, you know, it will go up while you're exercising, but not into a dangerous zone. It comes down as mom's heart rate comes down. And then in terms of the size of the baby, even for these very, very hardcore athletes, it's been shown that the babies are only about 200 to 400 grams smaller at the time of birth, which is really negligible. And there was no increased risk of having the baby be too small at delivery.
Good. Interesting facts.
Yeah. Awesome stuff.
I love it.
I feel like a loser for running that marathon without being pregnant now.
There's still time. There's still time, Frances.
That was fun.
Oh my God. Audrey, thank you so much for coming on, for taking
thank
the time
you.
Out of your day.
Thank you.
Yes. And happy to answer questions awesome. In the future. And all right. Have a good rest of your talk, guys.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Audrey. Thank
you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. What else do we have coming up?
So much.
Yeah, there's a lot. I think if we want to go in chronological order, why don't we start with the running clinic?
Boom. Oh, that sounds great. I love talking about that. Well, let's call it a treadmill clinic because I don't want anyone who is a power walker or a jogger to be discouraged from coming on Saturday because we're going to talk about all three. Well, by the way, just a little plug. I am going to be coaching the 90-minute on Saturday, so if anybody wants to come to that, go ahead and sign up. But post the 90-minute class, we are going to be having that treadmill. I'm really excited about it. We're going to cover a lot of stuff. Do be prepared to work out because we are going to be on those treadmills, you know, getting some running, some power walking, some jogging in. And two of the main things that we're going to talk about is really analyzing base pace and what it actually means. You know, base pace is the foundation of our workout. It's kind of what we build off of every workout from. And, you know, as we become fitter, your base pace is going to increase, therefore your push pace will increase and your all out will increase. So really assessing where we are in our base pace and why it's important. And the other thing that I'm really excited to talk about is correcting form. We spend a lot of time, you know, looking at form on the rowers, looking at form down in the wheat floor, but we don't spend necessarily as much time talking about form and technique and efficiency on the treadmills. And I think, you know, as coaches, we see a lot of opportunity in that. So it's going to be a great time to really make everyone a little bit more efficient runners, you know, correct their form, make them better runners, you know, improve your stamina, maybe get that base pace increased if you haven't done in a while. And talk about, you know, like our cadence. That's something that we take for granted, how many times your foot is hitting the treadmill, and the fact that whenever you increase your speed, you know, your cadence doesn't necessarily increase. So just talking about those kinds of things and maybe some different ways that we haven't thought about the treadmill in the past. I think we take it for granted that it's a treadmill and we're just going to walk on it or we're just going to run on it. And there are a lot of opportunities for us to improve our performance, improve our fitness over on the treadmill side. So I'm very excited about it. Hope you guys all come.
Right on.
Good stuff. I will say that only because you're talking about the treadmill and running, that I've been recently asked a couple times, what are the best shoes to wear? So I figured if you guys don't mind, I was going to step in and talk a little bit about purchasing your shoes.
Sandals.
Love it.
Sandals.
Barefoot.
Okay, so it really is a loaded question. Like, no one pair of sneakers, I wish, fits all. So first thing you do when you go to the shoe store, right, they should ask you, are you running inside? Are you running on the road? Are you running on trail, right? Because road shoes and trail shoes are two different things. I would highly recommend that you purchase more than one pair and alternate them. It's always a good practice to use one pair for inside the studio and perhaps one pair for outside the studio. Next question is, do you pronate? Pronation is... I mean, everybody pronates. It's the inward movement of the foot, right? As it rolls to distribute the force of impact on the ground as you run. So there's overpronation, and then there's underpronation, which is also called supination. I personally supinate. There's a couple things you can do. One, you can have one of us check for you. It's pretty easy to tell. Number two, you could look at your shoes, turn them over, and see which side of the shoe is being worn more. Once you found out if you overpronate or supinate, or maybe you just one foot does one and one foot does the other, which is very common. And I can explain more about that to you on a personal level, one-on-one. Then you can find out what shoe you need, because the shoes these days are designed specifically for either case. Then you're going to find out how your arches are. Do you have high arches, regular arches, or low arches? And low arches, otherwise flat feet, usually goes hand in hand with people who overpronate. And very often you can just get inserts that can help you out with that. When you purchase the shoes and you try them on, before purchasing, I should say, you don't want to have any slipping in the heel. I like to have a sneaker that is pretty light, on the lighter side. You don't want to skimp on the price, but you also don't have to spend $200+ for your sneakers. Typically you're going to end up spending $100, right? Couple ways, if you're not sure how your arches are, a couple ways you can find out are the shower, when you come out of the shower, right? If you step on the floor, your wet footprint, you can usually tell. Like if you can see your whole foot, then you have low to flat feet. If you can only see the very front of your foot and the ball of your foot, chances are you have high arches. If you can see a very thin line, then you probably have quote unquote normal arches. And that is going to matter on the sneakers that you buy also. You want to size up. You want to have a lot of room in that toe box, because as you run, the more you run, the hotter your foot gets. It spreads out at the bottom, and you want to make sure that there's lots of room at the bottom of that shoe. And I'm not sure if you guys have heard black toenails being a curse of runners. That's not necessary. You don't have to get black toenails, but it's when your toes are jamming up against the edge of your shoe, which probably is a good sign that you do need to get maybe half a size bigger on your shoes, or there's not enough room inside that shoe box. So I also heard that the brighter the shoe, the faster you run, but that's just hearsay. You didn't hear that from me.
The brighter the shoe, the faster you run?
I mean, yeah, I heard that.
What about
That's something I go with. My shoes are bright.
What about time to replace them? Like how frequently? Any
good question. Good question. They say, the experts say 500 miles. But it's not advised to walk around and use your sneakers for daily use if you're seriously training in them. Also, just specifically use them for your workouts. A lot of shoes now, I honestly don't think last more than 400 miles, but you can usually tell too. If you start to feel some kind of way, like if you start to get new aches and pains in your legs, chances are you just need a new pair of sneakers.
Yeah. I think I love what you said, especially about like not wearing them for like everyday use and then still wearing them for like the workout, which I think a lot of people do. Just, it's, you're throwing down $100 or more for a pair of shoes. But if you can keep one pair, you know, for like that in-studio Orange Theory workout and not use those for everyday use, that's going to go a long way and make them last a little bit longer, get a little bit more mileage out of them and stuff like that. But I know sometimes people will go way too long and they'll keep wearing that same shoe over time. It doesn't give you the support. And so it's a big deal, I think, to get them replaced at least, you know, two or three times a year, I would imagine is probably the right number.
Yeah, I mean, it's an investment. Yeah, right. Those shoes are going to help you more than you realize. There's so much that goes into the shoe buying, but yet they can make or break your workout.
Good stuff.
Yes. So what else we got going on?
So the running clinic, like we said, is on the 7th. On the 8th, We also have the Dry Try Clinic, but I want to talk, if we're going to talk about the Dry Try Clinic, I want to talk about the 23rd hour promotion. Again, that's going on before. So I need to confirm for everyone who listened to the last podcast that the information I gave was correct. So if you're our member and you refer someone to come take class that day, your class that day, as a member already who referred them, will be complimentary. And then they get there's all sorts of incentives for them to join either Elite or Premier. There's a coupon for an OCB, which is the heart rate monitoring system. There's a coupon for them the same day for retail if they want to get some Orange Theory swag in store. And then for both of you, if they join either Elite Premier, not only will the person who joined get a coupon for online shopping a couple days after, but the person who referred them will also get that same coupon for online shopping. And that coupon is actually good for an entire week. So it's not just like a one-time use type of thing. It's good for from the 10th to March 17th.
That's pretty sweet. I also think it's International Women's Day on the 8th.
I think you're right.
Nice.
I don't know anything about it. But if you know something about it, then I should know.
We are celebrating all our badass women that come to our studio.
They are badass.
Okay, then
women,
let's
actually.
Do that. Then everyone should be bringing their badass women with them for a free class. Because even if they're not from the area, they can get a free class, a free introductory session on the 8th, even if they don't live or work in the Milford area. And even if they've taken a class before and they weren't sure and then they just never got back to us and if they were wanting to come back, they could come and try it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I know on the 10th we have our 10-year anniversary.
10 years of Orange Theory Fitness.
Wow. Yeah. That is a long time.
8 a.m. 10 years ago, Ellen Latham taught her first class.
One decade.
Yeah. I know that you're pretty excited, Zach, about Wednesday the 11th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, rock on day. Rock music all day. That's my favorite. rock music is my favorite. I love rap. I like some pop. I like some electronic stuff, but rock and roll is my favorite. We got to rock all day. So if you're a big rock and roll or like hard rock fan, I know I'm going to have an awesome playlist. I don't know about you guys, but mine's going to be amazing.
Is it fire?
I'm not going to say it's fire because that's Georgie's thing. I'm going to say it's going to be cold as ice. That's what I'm going to say.
Cold as ice.
Or ice cold. It's going to be cold. Cooler than being cool. It's going to be ice cold.
I see what you did there.
You see what I did? You smell what I'm stepping in?
All right. We also have a tornado this week and Friday the 13th. And a charity class.
What's the charity class?
It is, we are going to have a workout for a cause for the Network of Executive Women. So what that is, they're dedicated to proving, I'm going to read it to you exactly what it is. Dedicated to providing educational opportunities for women in need of financial assistance by awarding annual scholarships.
Nice.
So the scholarships are offered to women who demonstrate financial need and are returning, continuing, or commencing undergraduate schooling or other types of training so they can further their educational goals and or enhance their job skills.
I like it. It's a good cause.
I know.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a cool cause. I like that.
What's the date of that? That class,
Heidi? Yep, that's the 14th. It is a Saturday. Coach Zach is coaching. I believe it is at 1:30. Typically, we ask for like a minimum donation of $25, but honestly, any donation will get you into that class. It does not come out of your membership. You just have to make a donation. You can bring it that day, or you can just make it directly to the Network of Executive Women. And one of our members, by the way, is one of the presidents of this what word am I looking for?
One of those executive women.
Thank you. So she has put this together. Her organization has over 70 members and they're opening it up to more if it's an option for anybody. It's a good cause. there's a lot of demands on a lot of these women, and they're just trying to commit themselves to furthering their education to try and give themselves and their children a better life. So it's a great cause, guys. Come on in.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, awesome. Yeah, I love having those classes packed up too. So more the merrier. Let's go.
Definitely. I know, seriously. If we need to, we can always open it up to a 3G. Right now, I know we have 7 people in class.
It'll fill up. We'll have more.
Cool. So
go for it.
Talking about Corona?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, so just kind of like a real conversation here. You know, I mean, the biggest thing for everybody is to not like lose their minds and let fear overtake them. I mean, let's, you know, the more we work out, actually, the stronger our immune system is, as long as we're getting good recoveries and stuff like that. And so at Orange Theory, what we really want to make sure that everybody is doing is, number one, if you are feeling sick or you're coming down with something, like, just like, don't come into the studio that day. Like, just help us and everybody else out by taking some time off until you're feeling better. Number two, most important thing is for sure, do not, like, you know, it's a habit to kind of like, you know, cough or sneeze, you know, like into your hands. Like, don't do that. Like, use your elbow or like the inside of your arm or something like that, but not your hands. And then make sure that when you're in the studio working out and things like that, you avoid touching your face, mouth, nose, eyes. That's one of the easiest ways for it to get transmitted, just like the flu and things like that. As far as what we know about it so far up to this point, that's the deal. And then I would say, you know, utilize those wipes. Make sure you guys are really being friendly to the other members working out at the same time. Wipe everything down. Be thorough about it. Use those wipes. Throw them away. Grab more when you guys need them and stuff like that. But if you touch something, make sure you guys are trying to wipe it down. And then when you guys are done with the workout, the best thing you guys can do is take a good 20 seconds for good thorough hand washing before you leave the studio for that day. We also have disinfectant and things like that too. So if you want to double duty, like wash your hands for 20 seconds and then use some disinfectant after you've washed your hands. And then you're pretty well set from right there. But the biggest thing is just avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth, and things like that while you guys are going through the studio and working out. And then do proper hygiene with your hands and hand washing afterwards. And you should be okay. Hopefully okay. Right?
Yes. Yes. I mean, we are at Orange Theory Fitness, you know, the health and safety of all our members and employees is paramount. So we really are following everything for the Center of Disease Control. We're just following them, and we will keep you posted as far as everything goes. But really, like, just like Phil said, wiping down equipment after every block, really, you know, replenish your wipes. Wash your hands for 20 seconds minimal after class. And honestly, just it's best you just don't come in if you're not feeling sick. That's what we're going to do as coaches as well. Yeah. And of course, you know, we're big on high fives. We can always do fist bumps, elbow bumps. I wouldn't recommend chest bumps at this time. But, you know, whatever we need to do at this time, we will do for your safety and ours.
Yeah. Good habits that we're probably doing already. Let's just try to do a better job at them. You know, and if there's little areas that you catch yourself doing something like that, that's like, just get better at it and we should be okay and safe.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Always err on the side of caution. Yes. All right. What else, guys?
The end of transformation challenge party, which is on the 20th.
Okay. I will tell you what I know off the top of my head. Last day, the Transformation Challenge Party is on the 20th, just like Zach said. The last class of the day, we're going to have DJ, which is always exciting and adds some fun to our classes. And then we are going to announce the winners right after. Do I have that correct? We're going to announce the winners, both male and female, highest percentage of body weight lost over the last 8 weeks. I'm very
so
excited. You guys have been working really hard. And so we will be there to celebrate with you and, you know, take, reflect on all your hard work.
So exciting.
Definitely. I'm excited too. Francis, I like one thing that you just said at the end right there that is really important to me. And I think we should just call it out is it's focusing on all the hard work. You know what I mean? It's not
absolutely
just the result, right? Like we're going to get done with this and we're going to be happy for the people that win and we're going to be happy for the people that participated and did really well and everything like that. But that's not the end of it. You know, it's like focus on the system that got you there and keep that going when this is over for everybody. You know, it's a mastery journey that you have to go through, and just, you know, when this is over, we're not done. So I know a lot of people have been really ramping up their frequency of Orange Theory workouts. Let's keep that going when this is over, right? Let's make 2020 phenomenal and not take a foot off the gas with that frequency once it's over.
Right. Just because the challenge is over doesn't mean you're it's time to stop. Your hard work isn't done. It's just the beginning of your journey for a lot of people, which is very exciting to see.
So exciting. I also wanted just to quickly mention a lot of kerfuffle going around about
a lot of what? Say that word again. A lot of what?
Kerfuffle.
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 Heidi does not enjoy it when you point out her differences in language.
Kerfuffle fish or kerfuffle?
A huff of blue.
Are you guys
done? Yeah, we're done.
Anywho, you may have heard some whispers going around the studio about our ambassador program. So it hasn't yet officially launched, but once it does, of course, anybody who's interested is more than welcome. It's really just not just about you guys. It's a celebration to all our loyal OTF members who are our biggest fans and embody the brand just as much as we do. It's really just a program that will reward you for things you're really already doing already, such as bringing in new friends to try class, posting about us on social media, and other stuff will be involved. So if you are interested, you can mention your name or email at the front desk. We'll be sending out emails probably the end or beginning of next week. There's no pressure. You don't have to be an ambassador. If you ask about it, there's no hands are not going to be tied or anything like that. But if you want more information, stay tuned for the email or you can ask the front desk about it. But more information will be coming about it next week.
Big stuff.
What'd you say, Francis?
I said it sounds amazing. I'm very excited about the ambassador program. Oh, okay. I was reading more about it this morning, and I thought it was really neat. I'm excited for it.
Francis, is this is this the first podcast that you did not multitask in while we were doing it, Francis?
What? What'd you say?
Every time we've done a podcast, you've like been multitasking, doing something else while we've done it. Is this the first time you actually have not been multitasking?
No. I'm making dinner. I just had my lunch.
Oh my God.
I walked the dog and I folded up laundry. I get so much stuff while we're having podcasts.
One more thing before we go. We just got the swag today for Dry Try. You guys are going to have so much FOMO for the people who didn't sign up.
Now I'm jealous.
I'm jealous. I want the swag. Wait till you see it, guys. I'm very excited about it.
Let's go. Let's get it done.
Yes. All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you guys later. See Bye.
Bye.